Great to be with you on this Thursday morning. Jason Kelce with us, Ruben Amaro with us here as well. All right, so Jason, you're all over the place. Monday night, I think there was more you than football with all the commercials. You didn't see them because you're in the stadium. It's everywhere.
And I know.
And by the way.
I'm sorry, everyone. I really am.
We're so proud.
Probably.
Don't be sorry.
I probably should have.
You got any loose change in that pocket? Just leave a trail of breadcrumbs of coins on your way out
there's
the door.
There's a ton of loose change. I probably should have done less commercials, but I do. So I do most of the commercials in the area, and that's one thing that has actually been, like, every time they're like, thank you so much for doing the commercials in Philadelphia and not doing them in L.A., because when you have the talent, you kind of have the choice where you want to go.
Nice.
And they're like, every time you do something here, it gives all these, like, you know, union workers and all these people jobs.
That's awesome.
Like, there you go.
Very appreciative of that. So that's the one thing that gives me solace while everybody's like, will this guy get off the TV? I'm like, well, at least I'm employed in Philadelphia.
That's a big thing.
There you go. All right, let's listen to a little taste of the actual commercials, because we got a little montage here. Just a brief little taste of what's going on.
Oh, gosh.
Jason, Daniel, Kelce, welcome back to football.
This is a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Exactly.
It's a freaking hoagie.
Summertime's here and it's Hoagie Fest.
Mmm, tasty. Chunky is spicy. And it's good to be spicy.
Ha! King of the Grill.
Who's starting garage beer? A lot of you ask me. Has Travis changed? Let me tell you, that's just crazy.
Ty can tackle any pile.
I want this!
Jason is really fired up for the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Challenge.
Watch every game.
Every Sunday.
When you bundle NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV.
Frank's Red Hot is so good, I put it on everything.
Yeah! Love it. All right. So that's what's been. I mean, that's what will continue to be. I mean, those are, you're going to see them and see them and see them. But here's the thing. We also know, Conklin and I know, what's coming in the next month.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, soon to be on your TV, let's hit it.
Philadelphia!
Cream cheese.
Hi, I'm Jason Kelce, and I'll do anything for a buck. Make it half a buck. Give me 50 cents and I'll give you a hell yeah! If you're constantly walking to the bank to cash checks because you can't say no to anything, give your feet a break with Dr. Scholl's orthopedic shoes.
Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Not as much as what's in my wallet! Hey, if you're having a children's party, don't hire some clown! You can hire me for your party. Plus, if you got hungry dogs, I'll walk them!
Hey, it's Jody Cameron here.
And I'm Jason Kelce for...
The Hammer!
Did you ever scream so loud that it drains all the blood from your favorite extremity? Try Kelce Alice. Buy Bitcoin. I don't know what it is, but if it's currency, I'm all in. If you got nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, hire me now.
Yes!
Oh, well done by Conklin.
Kelce Alice.
Well done. Kelce Alice. Jason, what do you think? Kelce Alice?
Think about.
It's very good. It's very good in typical Conk fashion. Like, I don't know that I'm going to. It's phenomenal.
How great is Conklin, man? Because you were there at this. A couple of things. First off, you've been hearing him for years as a WIP listener. You've known him for years. And you were there when he did the CL thing 2 years ago at your event.
That's what I'm saying.
That was like, an all-timer.
Yeah, he can just go. He's always on. Like, he at any moment, like, his brain just works in these, like, puns, and he can just switch lyrics up. I mean, it's very, very impressive, the impersonation ability of Conklin, for sure.
Well, well done by Conklin. Hey, make sure you see Joe Conklin Show, the incomparable Joe Conklin at Archbishop Wood High School in Warminster, coming up on Saturday, September 28th. It's coming up real soon, of course. Come early for a meet and greet with Ike Risa will be there. Also, see Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra at the Media Theater in Media, PA, Saturday, November 16th. Tickets for both of these events and to book Joe for a private event, JoeConklin.com.
And of course, Conklin's Comedy Night at Parks Casino every other Thursday. Next Thursday, September 26th, see Joe Bartnick from The Bill Burr Show. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets are only $20, include a free drink. Get tickets at JoeConklin.com.
And I want to go further inside some of the decisions from Sirianni and Kellen Moore with the, you know, the play calling or to kick or to punt or to field goal. We'll get to all that fourth down stuff with Jason coming up here in a few minutes at 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Let's talk to Mike right now. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gang.
Hi, Mike.
Jason, if you start slinging green South Philly tuxedos, then I'm going to say, okay, you went a little too far.
Okay, fair enough.
So, Joe, overreaction to the team being average? Absolutely. Look, the team ain't average. I mean, I think tempering down expectations, I mean, I think that's completely warranted. I already went from 14-3 to 12-5. But, you know, for the sake of sounding obvious, what's got people freaking out is that we're having the same exact conversations and concerns that we did during last year's collapse. So, you know, that is why everyone's completely freaking out. And what's got me really nervous is, like, I'm still in shock as to how much the offense was ineffective without AJ. Like, we really saw Jalen take a big step back with what he can do. Like, granted, he was great with the legs, but it resurfaced a lot.
Mike, I got to tell you, my man, it didn't shock me. So he was spectacular with the legs, and it was great to see two different things. One, that he was athletically spry. Two, that in the need to move the ball down the field, he was willing to run. That was great. That was necessary. But I will tell you, Mike, and I've been saying this for a couple years now, and James and I got in a battle about 2 weeks ago over this. I always said, let's see a game where he doesn't have the advantage of maybe the best duo in football. And what's, because Kirk Cousins won that game with, like, receivers most people today couldn't even name who they were. So, you know, you guys know I've been concerned about Hurts. We'll see what happens.
And Joe, let me tell you something. This is where I agree with you 100%, because this is where I took a step back and said, you know what? This Jalen without AJ is a completely different quarterback. And I didn't want to really think it, and I still don't want to fully think it, but we saw a huge drop-off from Jalen. He went right back to the rolling out to the right. He had a lot of time in the pocket.
And of course, Mike, listen, Mahomes is an unfair comparison because he might be the best ever. Yeah. He's probably top three with Brady and Montana. But, I mean, let's really consider this reality for a second. That Mahomes loses prime Tyreek Hill, who's probably going to end up in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and the next two seasons wins the Super Bowl. That is unbelievable.
Okay. And it
that
looked,
is unbelievable.
And it looked ugly early in the season at times that Kansas City team.
That's fair.
It was bumpy.
I mean,
like a roller coaster.
Yeah, and he still has the best offensive coach ever, maybe, and the best tight end ever.
I get it. Mike, give me a big-time answer here. Who or what got your chance you can win the Phillies tickets?
We know Kurt Cobain, we know Dave Grohl, but nobody knows Chris Novoselic of the bassist of Nirvana.
You got it,
great answer.
Okay. There's a lot
people
of
people don't know Chris.
He's right. I did not know who that was.
Wow.
Yeah. People don't. I mean, a lot of people don't. I think. Yeah.
Well, the band. I think bands are a good example.
He's like 6'7" or 6'8". He's gigantic.
Yeah.
No, the bassist for Nirvana.
Long fingers with the bass. Yeah.
So, Jason, let's talk about the decisions. There were three, and I'm not talking about LeBron in 11?
The decision.
All right. So 4th and 4, first quarter. We'll just go in sequential order. 4th and 4, first quarter, tie game, second drive. The ball is primarily moved down the field by Saquon running great. 4th and 4, Nick says, we're going for it instead of kicking a field goal. And I know you may have been moving through the stadium, so if you didn't see it real time, just tell us. But what did you think in the moment?
In the moment, I probably wanted them to take the points, to be honest with you. And I think part of that is just the way it felt like it was going at the moment. Like, I think Atlanta had struggled. The Eagles struggled their first drive.
Yeah, that's right.
And then all of a sudden you get a chance to get some points. Let's just take it.
Is the 4 a little chunky? Like, if it's 4th and 2, 4th and 1, but it's like 4th and 4.
Fourth and 1's a foregone conclusion at this point, right?
4th and 4 a little chunky, though?
4th and 4 is a tough one, especially in that area. If you're going to throw, it's just a very condensed spot. Like, there's just not a lot of space once you get that low in the red zone.
Right.
So it's hard to throw the ball down there. And, I mean, it was all game for both teams for the most part.
All right, let's get to decision 2. The first one has probably been the most criticized from the standpoint that most people don't understand it. Like, just take the points. And I think it's the one that, if you're going to correct one, it's the one I would correct. But the most discussed has been the second decision.
It's always going to be the end of game situation.
Yes, okay. So to throw the ball to Saquon Barkley, which probably was not at all a Nick Sirianni decision, but a Kellen Moore decision as play caller. So to have a 3rd and 3, minute 40, I think 6 to go, Falcons no timeouts, throwing the ball. Now, obviously, I can't say what I was thinking in the moment because I was not thinking beforehand, what if they throw it?
Yeah.
I will just tell you, I have no problem with that play call. All Saquon has to do is catch the ball and the game is over. But a lot of people have criticized it. What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I guess I'll address like how much Nick's role is that. I'm not so sure that Nick and Kellen talk a lot about all of these scenarios, mm-hmm. and I guarantee they have been over that exact scenario and like, do we throw the ball or do we run it? And they felt the same thing the previous week, not the exact same scenario, but they were third down and they ended up, I mean, that one was like even more of a pass. They were through a slant route against Green Bay down in the red zone last week, and they ended up picking up the first down. More and more teams have been throwing in these scenarios. More and more teams have been being aggressive and trying to like, ice the game.
And the game.
They don't want to give the ball back. Yeah.
And you know the D line's going to be stacked against you. Like, that's a hard 3 yards to get.
Not even just the, I mean, it's going to be zero, and it was zero.
Yeah.
There's an extra guy in the box. You're not going to have numbers no matter what run you call. It is going to be hard. Now, could they have done it? Could they have gotten, and I thought Tony Dungy brought up a good point. They really only need to get 2 yards because if it gets to fourth and one, like we just talked about, it's a tush push then the.
Yeah.
And that's a 90 whatever percent chance. Mm-hmm. So I think if you told me before that play that I could have the running back wide open in the flat to win the game on a simple, like, I mean, a 10-yard throw, I would take that. Over the unsureness of whether they were going to get that amount of yards running the ball. Now, I think it's very easy to say, hey, listen, the conservative thing, run the ball, give your opponents less time. Potentially, you know, if you're going for it on fourth down, that changes things too. But I think in the moment, it was wide open. And I thought Jalen made a good decision. He threw it. If that's not there, the decision is obviously just to run and let the clock go down and kick the field goal anyways. I like it. I do. I think it's a chance to win the game and to be over.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. Jason, I made the
just
car.
Catch it.
Go ahead, John.
Like, I guess really the way I would think about it is like, what is the percent chance that ball is dropped?
Yeah. It's,
and I don't know what that percent chance is. I bet that, you know, like, I bet all you those guys have gone over that, to be honest with you.
I bet you it's a higher percentage chance that he catches it than you gain the 3 yards.
Oh, for sure.
Even on two downs.
For sure.
And Jason, I'll say this.
It was the right play.
I've made the correlation to the Philly special.
Yeah.
Maybe the most celebrated play in the history of Philadelphia sports. Yeah. Okay. If Nick drops the ball, the town, and let's say you guys lose, possible. The town comes down on Doug. I mean, it's putting
in... It's not the same time situation.
No, it's not, but it's in the Super Bowl running a trick play from the 1 yard line when you have LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. If you guys lose that game because Nick Foles drops that ball, Doug is like, it's like Fregosi, you know, Ruben, Fregosi putting in Mitch in game 6 of the World Series. It's like, we never get over it. The difference is Nick Foles, who's a quarterback, caught the ball. I'll trust Saquon Barkley to catch the ball.
Over Nick Foles?
Yeah, he dropped him. All right, let's get to decision three quickly if we can. Just then the next play.
Yeah.
To kick a field goal or not. So I thought, I can understand the argument to go for it, but it's not so much I'm going to trust my defense. It's more just I think I have a higher probability to win by going up 6 and they got to go the full field. Then I might not get it, and they got
to
go 60 yards
to tie it up
with 60 seconds.
I agree, and I think that I think some of those decisions, and this is like where analytics is so hard.
Or a minute 40, I should say. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, they had a minute 40. Yeah, they would have, you know, yeah. I think after you get the incompletion, it's a no-brainer. You kick it. The question is, if you thought you were going to go for it after that, do you do that? You run the ball on third down then, for sure, right? Yeah. So I think that, really, it's not a comparable thing. Like, they would have had a minute left if you were going to go for it on fourth down and you don't convert. But a minute to go, I mean, they went on their first three plays, they went how many yards in like 30 seconds?
It was bad.
I mean, it was fast.
It was bad.
And to me, the way the game was going, Atlanta was not getting in the end zone very easily. They had just scored like their first touchdown. Like, they were not operating that great in the red zone. So I felt pretty confident in the defense at least holding them out of the end zone. With the limited time on a 2 minute drill. Obviously, that was not the case. And I also think some of these decisions come down to how comfortable do I feel with these play calls? Like, when you get into these scenarios where it's like, you know, you look at the game theory and it's like a 50-ish percent chance, like, there's different levels of like no brainer decisions and, you know, you're kind of on the fence. Mm-hmm. I think then you have to take into account how the game's going, where if you look into the game, they weren't getting in the end zone that easy. I think that you then take into account, okay, how good do I feel about this play call? Do I feel really strongly that this is going to be open? And like, for instance, if they felt really strongly that that roll pass was going to be open, that they ended up dropping on third down,
yep.
If you feel great about that play, maybe you do call that on fourth down. Maybe you run it on third down. They're going to be in a similar defense the next play. Dial it up again. And then I think feeling how good you feel about a play call also factors into these decisions.
Sure.
And if you don't feel good about that, or the way the game was going, the defense was doing a good job of holding them out of the end zone, then I get just kicking the field goal and making them score a touchdown.
All right.
Limited time.
All right, Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. So we'll get into the Eagles-Saints game with Jason while he's here with us the next 20 minutes or so. You know, it's been a pretty sizable difference in the point spread from when it first came out to what it now is. So the point spread came out prior to the Eagles Week 2 game being played, before the Eagles lost that game. The Eagles were, I think it was a point and a half favorite. And now, since the Eagles lost that game, and of course, you know, the reality that AJ is going to, you know, it seems pretty clear, miss the game, the Saints not only are favorite, they're favorite by 2.5 points. You don't see a change like that in the point spread all that often. All right, let's get to the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Got a lot of questions for Jason while he's here. We're going to give you a chance as well. Let's talk to Dr. Gina. Dr. Gina, how you been?
Hey, Joe. Good, good. Good morning, morning team.
What's up, Dr. Gina?
Glad to hear you. I was afraid it was just like testosterone city there, and there was no one to hold up the fort there. So.
Thank you, Gina.
Yes, you're welcome. So, actually, Jason and I go back. Not as far back as you and I go, Joe, but Jason, I hung out with you and partied with you at Uptown Beer Garden.
Oh, yeah.
You were a single man still. You hadn't even met your wife yet.
Where are you going with this, Gina?
How did you know he was so
rain it in, Gina?
Hey, no, I was with my boyfriend, and you were there, and it was a great night. I have pictures of us, actually, and I look like a little peanut. My head looks like it's 2 inches tall next to your head and your beard, and that's where you were wearing your hair kind of on the high side.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, my little 5'3½ head standing next to you. Everyone who sees that picture gets a big kick out of it, I'll just say. But you look so handsome in that picture, and I was so excited to get my picture taken with you. Anyway.
Thank you so much, Gina.
That aside. So I just a little bit of a take on the Eagles game. I felt like, you know, we knew we would miss you. And I'm not pandering to you in the least, but you know, Cam does not have the, you can call it muscle memory, whatever it is, with the RPO, like you being a center forever and a day, 13 years with our team, you could read the RPO. You know what I mean? You could see where you needed to be. And now that they're calling this an ineligible man downfield more often, more stringently, I feel so bad for Cam because it's like he's expected to know something that he doesn't know, or hasn't, he knows it but hasn't been necessarily exposed.
Well, listen, Gina, we'll get Jason on that. Give me an answer for who or what got shortchanged.
How about Caitlin Clark in the Olympics?
You know what? Unless she wasn't one of the 12 best when they had to announce the team, I don't know enough about the women's players to know she was one of the 12 best.
I think she was. Here's the deal.
She struggled early, though.
But she had to have partaken in certain tournaments or certain... She had to play in certain things, and she didn't.
Okay.
So apparently, wasn't eligible.
Okay.
That was. But you know, you can override those things.
All right, Jason, the Cam thing. How do you think he's doing? And without the muscle memory at center that you had, how much of a deficiency is that early until he gets up to speed with muscle memory?
Yeah, I think. Well, first of all, Gene, you can pander as much as you want. I don't think it's not necessarily a muscle memory thing. I think. Typically, when you run these plays, there's tags that let you know if there's a chance that it's going to get thrown, and there's varying degrees of those tags. There could be ones that are, it's a longer developing RPO. There could be ones where it's a simple, like, kind of bubble, and you know that if he is going to throw it, it's going to be very quick. And I think that...
So that's probably, for you guys, the offensive linemen... To know,
you have to know
that clock in your head.
You have to know, and there's different techniques. Like you're going to sit on the double team longer, and before you climb to the second level, because you can engage with the D lineman and go downfield. That's allowed. Mm-hmm. What's not allowed is releasing and blocking someone who is further than a yard off the ball, and or be downfield further than a yard, just touching nobody. And I think that they're probably still figuring this out. This is something that
right.
you always go through with the RPOs, and now Kellen being a new piece there, I'm sure they're still figuring this out again. And part of it is, I think, with the way we teach offensive line play is very aggressive. Stout believes very stringently in running off the ball and displacing people at the line of scrimmage. They don't do what a lot of other offensive lines do, which is a little bit more of like a shuffle technique. And you kind of are more prepared if people slant and move and things change. But if it's not that, you don't generate the same kind of movement. So when you're operating with the run off the ball technique with RPOs, it can be very dangerous. Vertical voids, we talk about them all the time. Get up on the second level. If you have a free space, go and get that backer before he can come downhill and build one line of defense. You can't do that when it's an RPO. And I think that there are tags that tell you that. And mm-hmm. To be honest, I don't know, based on watching it, whether the tags are there, whether Cam's wrong, whether they need to communicate this as an offense. But I will say, I had plenty of my own man downfield calls. Whenever you're in this RPO world, it's one of the things that you're dealing with of, okay, how much can we get away with? When do we got to tell the guys not to go downfield on which concepts out there? And I can guarantee you they're going through that very much this week.
How good was the pass protection? It looked fantastic. Like there was a pocket. Yeah. It looked like there were times that Jalen left the pocket inexplicably. I don't know why he's leaving the pocket as early as he is. What's the reason?
I actually thought, first of all, the pass protection has been phenomenal in both games so far. I actually thought Jalen was much better in this game. Most of his scrambles, he pushed up and in and then went out, which is very different than what Jalen has done in the past. I thought there were multiple times where he sat back there for a while. First game, I agree. He was a little bit more, you could tell he's a little bit antsy, uncomfortable. This last game, I thought he was very poised in the pocket. I thought he had great awareness. There's like maybe a couple times where he rolled out of there. One, I think there's a blitz over here and he just kind of went there prematurely. Mm-hmm. Another one was a huge third down scramble where he lowered his head and picked it up in the red zone.
That was big.
Yeah, it was a great run. I know he was missing AJ, which is a big piece, obviously. I thought he made really good decisions. I thought he's operated so much better against the blitz. I mean, people bring up the two decisions. They had a chance to get a touchdown on a zero blitz with a beautiful throw to Devontae Smith. The drive right before that. Yeah. And like, I think.
Catch the ball.
Aiken was very clear, though.
And Devontae's a phenomenal player, and he usually does.
Yeah.
And I just think, I thought Jalen actually played really well this past week.
For what it's worth, Jason, Aikman in the broadcast, very clear, that ball just needs to be a little bit more on the outside, and it's an easy touchdown. He was he was saying that ball was thrown.
But it was also an easy touchdown as it was thrown.
Nah, it was a dislodgeable ball by the defender who dislodged it. I mean, look, I think Jalen throws a good ball. Is he as accurate as Troy Aikman and Kurt Warner and Tom Brady? No. But I think he throws a pretty damn good ball. But that was a 4-point loss by not getting that ball just a little further outside of Devontae. John, what was your question for Jason on the tush push?
Yeah, I assume it had a really boring name, right? Like 51.
Yeah, I don't even want to say it because they'll say it at the line sometimes.
Yeah,
I know that was a big thing, and that's why they actually said
a boring name.
At the end of these interviews, you're still learning how to do them, right? And the guy's like, make sure after the interview you ask me, like, did I miss anything? So then the producer can be like, hey, ask this idiot. I'm like, did I miss anything? He's like, what did you guys actually call it? And Jalen's like, yeah, I'm not telling you.
No,
guys
nor
that.
Should it.
So, it's not a great name. It's not even like something that the viewer would be like, that's hilarious. Like, it's not anything.
Yeah,
is it like the total
package? You're naming gaps.
Is it like Ruben Amaro's nickname, the total package?
I mean, that's not a bad name for it.
Yeah. All right, Ruben. Yeah. Ruben, you want to talk about why you're the total package?
Why?
Moving on.
Is it like a Randy Johnson?
Can we move on?
Is it like Ryan Howard being the big piece?
The big piece, yeah.
Nothing like any of that.
All right. So Jason, let's get to the Bryce Huff thing. Now, we have all heard a lot, and almost all of us have said a lot about Bryce Huff through the first two games. I want to read something Jimmy Kemsky wrote this week on Philly Voice after game two. This is the most damning thing I've heard about Bryce Huff. So, Jimmy Kemsky did a detailed breakdown of certain plays, And he references how, you know, through two games, it's like the stats are basically non-existent. And there, you know, there's a lot of plays he references. I just want to read what he wrote on four plays in particular. So one play he writes, Kyle Pitts washes him down the line of scrimmage with very little effort. This is atrocious.
Ooh.
Then he writes, you know, details the play, and he writes, he was blocked with ease by another tight end. Say what you will about Derek Barnett, but he killed tight ends. Huff is just dancing with this guy. Then on another play, he wrote, run play. He's fixing his helmet as the running back breezes by him. Then another play, he writes, screen to the opposite side of the field. This effort stinks. He's jogging in the action, and it is so non-threatening that number 65 doesn't even notice him. He sums up the whole thing, and this is much more detailed than just that, but he sums it up by saying this. Huff gave the Eagles absolutely nothing as a pass rusher or run defender, and when he had opportunities to make hustle plays, he didn't. If this is what Huff is going to be as a player all season, he's going to be making $17 a year riding the bench because he will simply be unplayable.
$17 million.
$17 million.
$17 sounds like $17 a bargain.
I was about to say, he's going to make a bit more than $17.
You know, think about that. He says, you're right. $17 million.
Lemonade stand.
My fault. $17 million riding the bench because he will be unplayable.
Can't believe he left the Jets for $17.
All right, that is the most damning thing I've heard or read.
Sure.
Jason, what is your sense of what is going on with Bryce Huff? Because I didn't know what to expect other than this. I certainly expected more than this.
Yeah.
What do you make of it?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, he wasn't known as a run defender coming here, right? Like, he was known as getting after the passer, and that's something that we talked about all offseason, and Vic was asked questions very candidly in training camp. I think, to me, watching it, to be quite frank, he looks lost. He does not look comfortable with the defense yet. He has not been good against the run. I don't know that any of them have been that good against, like, especially the outside zone last week. It was not just Bryce Huff. I can guarantee you that. They were getting cut out on the backside. I do think that BG and Sweat did a better job of setting the edge. You want to stop the outside zone play, you have to set the edge. The end has to condense it, and the backside has to rally to the football, and they just were failing in both those categories in some ways. And I think it's hard to gauge him as a pass rusher at this point because, again, there just hasn't been that many opportunities. Like,
and the first game was slippery.
I gave him a pass.
I get that. That's fair.
I gave him a pass the first week because of that. And I think this past week, it's hard to gauge again as a pass rusher because, again, there just weren't that many opportunities. Like, if you're getting run like that on first and second down, you're staying out of the situations where it's conducive for these guys to get after the quarterback. It's hard to gauge.
You know, it's a bad sign, though. What's really that? Bad sign. End of the game, minute 40 to go. Mm-hmm. Clear passing downs. Not on the field. The defensive coordinator saying, "I trust
these guys."
Brandon Graham in his mid to late 30s, mm-hmm, more than Bryce Huff. That's a bad sign.
I will say this. I would love for him to just change things up. You don't want to change up too much, but like, he slipped in the previous game. He slipped in this week. Dude, I'd be getting out of my cleats. He's getting engaged with the tackle, and he can't get off. Like, guys are getting a hold of him. To me, like, I remember, oh my gosh, a Hall of Fame defensive end from Steelers, Green.
Joe Green.
Kevin Green.
Kevin Green.
Kevin.
I remember Kevin Green coming and talking about, you know, one of the art, like the art form of pass rushing. And he's like, I wanted my jersey so tight, I would Velcro everything, strap that thing down. And the jerseys, the way they are now, are so elasticy that it's so much easier to get a hold of.
Wow.
And I wonder, like, if I'm Bryce and I see that on tape, I should be putting a situation where the offensive lineman can't do that. Like, how do I strap this down as much as I can? You know what I mean? And then part of it's like, get the guy's hands down and, you know, figure out some moves to get off of it. But I do think that's just more of my overall just hatred towards where the jerseys are in the NFL now. But
I think that's why Ruben was called the total package. It was the tight-fitting, muscle-bound shirts he would wear in 1995.
No question about it.
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll questions.
I will say this. I think that he looks lost, and as a consequence, he looks slow.
And small.
He's always been small, but his game has been speed. I would love to see these guys potentially, dude, just let him play fast. Try to get him going. Maybe that develops some confidence, because right now he's just not playing with confidence.
Yeah.
He's not playing like he knows what to do a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And part of it is the offense, like they do these condensed splits, and then you're nervous. Are you going to get cracked? Are you going to get this slice action? And all this is going in your head, and it just feels like it slowed him way down.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, let's... And they tried to do it in the second half. You can see Vic is trying to make this adjustment, not just for him, but a lot of those guys. It's like, let's get these guys moving. But anyways, yeah.
Well, do you think it feels like he's got... So Hutchinson from the Lions had a 4.5 sack game.
Yeah, it's a drastically different player.
Does it feel like this guy has, you know, like he's going to make up for lost time? He's going to have one of these huge games. I don't think so. Like, yeah. I don't think he's got that in him. And then I watch him try to play. I watch him try to fend off blockers. It really is. He's overmatched. He's, geez.
Our concern, Jason, to be blunt, is he just might not have it. You know, and you had some teammates like that. Marcus Smith didn't have it. Danny Watkins didn't have it.
Yeah, but
now, it's hard to imagine after he had 10 sacks last year that he wouldn't have it like that.
Well, that's my thing. This guy's been productive in the NFL for he's been productive with the Jets. There's a reason he got paid this money.
Right.
So what can we do from a structure standpoint? Like, he has good traits. There's no way you have that without having that. So, like, is he the best at being the point of attack in a run? Right? Doesn't look like it, right? But can we slant him with speed across the tackle's face, which is his strength, and have the backer overcompensate and go outside of him? Can we design games that get him looping quickly, like now, and hitting the center with speed? He almost had, he beat the center on one. It was just the ball was out. I think that there are things you can do. And like Micah Parsons, this is a big thing with Micah. We would go into that game like, hey, we can run at this guy. He's small. He's lighter. But when you're small and light, you start jumping around. There's still traits that make it difficult to block you. It just feels like right now he's in between. He doesn't have the power, and he's not striking the tackle in the face the way BG does. And then he's also not slipping inside in a structured way that takes advantage of the traits that he does have.
One of the many reasons why Jason is and will continue to be a great commentator on Pro Football, obviously. You hear that. That's phenomenal insight. Two final things with Jason here. One of them, the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's truck season in Armin. Available 1.9% financing on all new 2024 light-duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. All right, Jason, we're all going on the record today with where we prefer the arena to be for the Sixers. So, where do you prefer the Sixers arena be? Everyone can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We've got the three choices. We put them in alphabetical order. It looks like it'll probably be Center City with the mayor's endorsement and obviously her putting the political weight of her office behind it. But we'll see. Three choices, alphabetical order. Jason, your preference, Camden, Center City, Philly, the South Philadelphia Sports Complex, where would you prefer it be?
I would prefer it stays in South Philly.
Me too.
Unquestionably. And I'll say this, when it does get built in Center City and all of these people are displaced, at the end of the day, people are probably going to love it. In 10 years, all this is going to be different. And we're probably going to be really happy that there's this beautiful complex that was developed down there and it's a thriving part of the city. But right now, I really hate it. And part of me is like, I have scars from this, from growing up in Cleveland and watching Art Modell try and strong arm the city and then move him to Baltimore. And I really have a strong disdain for the fact that this guy strong armed the city by threatening to move him out of the city. And all of these people that have devoted all of their time, all of their efforts, all of their money, and like a lifetime of fandom towards this team. And now you're going to strong arm people against what the city wants. I really have a hard time being okay with that. I'm not okay with it. I think it's wrong. But that's how I feel.
And Jason, let me give you one more on that, because I've said this in the air. I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Part of what bothers me about what you just said there, not what you said, but the Sixers ownership thing, I would have respected their position more if they less said it's about what's good for the city and more said what it's good for them.
Yeah.
They would not be doing this if it did not put additional monies in their pocket.
That's why they're doing it. It has nothing to do with the city, and they're strong-arming the city. In the city, what do you do? Do you risk losing the Sixers? And, like, the only thing the fans can do is say, fine, move, we're not going to do it, and then we don't have a basketball team. And it just sucks. It just sucks that there's that much, you know, and this is part of, you know, the ownership group isn't Philadelphian. It's got a New Jersey Devils team, a Philadelphia team, and now a Washington team. And now they're forcing the city to do what this guy wants, and it sucks. But at the end of the day, like I said, at the end of the day, we're all going to be really happy with it. I do think that, other than the people that get displaced out of Chinatown and the people that aren't going to be able to live there anymore, the vast majority of fans are probably going to have a better interaction with a beautiful new stadium and outstanding new shops and retail and all in residential. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. You know, it's just another, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Jason, let me
but
say
part
this.
Part of this is like growing up in Cleveland, like I went through this firsthand and I lost a football team for 3 years. So I get the mayor's position and why they're doing this, but it sucks. And I just don't think that amount of, you know, disrespect towards the citizens that allow you to have this team is appropriate.
Look, I love your passion, and I'm with you 1,000,000% on all that. All right, unbelievable. Final thing here with Jason Withers. He's with us every Thursday for an hour in studio. The Eagles and Saints play a game on Sunday. Saints are obviously better than expected. That's clear. Can you tell if they are legit? How big is the challenge for the Eagles Sunday in New Orleans?
I mean, they're legit right now. Listen, this right now they're running the system. Clint Kubiak has them going. They're running outside zone as well as anybody. They're running the boots. Derek Carr has been very good in this league at times, and he's operating like that right now. Mm-hmm. We've saw it firsthand. We played him, what, like 2 or 3 years ago, and he like didn't even have an incompletion. He had like one incompletion on like 40 attempts or something. Like, this guy can operate very, very well. They look very good. And I think, you know, through the first 2 weeks, if you didn't take anything into account in the past or any like preseason predictions, I don't know that you can point to a team that's playing better football right now than New Orleans. And Dennis Allen has been a phenomenal defensive coordinator in this league. He was always one of the guys that I hated going against. He was very good at scheming run game with lighter boxes. He was very good at like understanding formationally what you're doing and messing with it. We had some success against him, but there were some games where it was like, man, I don't know what to do right now. This guy's got our number.
Wow.
And there were other games where we had his number. I mean, that's part of the back and forth. But yeah. I think he's a very good defensive coordinator. He gets more out of guys that I don't know. Like, guys go there, play really well, go other places. They're still good. But I think he gets the most out of his guys. And then offensively, they're humming. And Derek Carr, when he's on the way he is right now, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league.
Jason, great stuff with you today, man. We'll see you next week. Enjoy this weekend's games.
Appreciate it.
Where are you going Monday night? Which spot?
We're in Bristol this week because it's a doubleheader.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'll be in a studio in Bristol, Connecticut. It's going to be great.
All right, there he is, Jason Kelce, as he is every Thursday with us. 215-592-9494. All right, back with all the calls in 1 minute. 1 minute as we resume the calls on all these topics and your reaction to what we've been talking about with the arena as well.
Hey, John, let's talk about our friends at Window Nation. Did you know most of your home's cold AC this summer leaked out through your old windows? With the nice weather that we have here in September, it's a great time to replace them with energy-efficient ones and save money on heat this winter. Who would I call? Window Nation.
Right now, buy two windows, get two free, and there's no limit to how much you could save. Plus, you could save big with no interest or payments for 24 months.
So why do I like Window Nation? Well, they partner with the top manufacturers to build the best quality, affordable windows. And then they pass those savings on to you. Who else likes Window Nation? Over 20,000 customers who gave a 5-star review, including Albert, who said great value, great product, and great customer service. Highly recommend it.
Stop paying more than you have to. Hurry. Sale ends September 30th, so schedule a fast in-home estimate right now at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
All right, great to be with you on this Thursday morning. Getting closer to game day. Of course, tomorrow will be a football Friday, and you can tell from Jason's standpoint, he thinks the Saints are pretty damn good. I mean, they look that way to me, and they have maybe been the most impressive team this year in football.
Their approach has been they want to run the football down your throat. They want to run even though you set your defense to stop the run.
Wow.
And I love this idea. They do the call it and run it run. And we have gotten away from that because of the RPO stuff. It's like it always has to be just so to run the football.
Yeah.
They get heavy.
They got back
with personnel. They've got it back and they pound it and keep pounding it. Even when they don't have success, they keep pounding it. And then that sets up the play action. Carr threw like 16 passes. Like it felt like it was almost inconsequential, the number of times that he went to the air, because running the football is what matters most right now for the New Orleans Saints. And you got Alvin Kamara as your back. Like Alvin Kamara can catch it as well as the best wide receivers. He can run routes like the best wide receivers, but then he can also run you over, run through you, juke you in a phone booth. Alvin Kamara is so uniquely and extremely gifted, and he's now finally become the focal point of that offense appropriately. So we need to stop him. And that's very clear. This team knows exactly, like all week long, on the short week, they've known exactly what the goal is. They just got embarrassed with the outside zone. Now they're playing a team that loves to run the outside zone with a back who's great at running the outside zone, has an incredible feel for it. And when you stop that, they will keep running it.
Look, it's a challenge, clearly. All right, let's go to the phones. And it is made a bigger challenge because Kamara's good again. He's not injured. He's not suspended. He's playing. He's healthy. And he's good. He's great.
Really?
John in Allentown. John, good morning, buddy.
Dude, you almost caught me eating a piece of chicken.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Ooh, nice. All cold right. chicken? Next all right, morning, all right, cold chicken.
John, I'm going to ask you a trivia question. John.
Uh-oh. Go ahead, brother.
Which former Philadelphia coach or manager had a major, like, choking incident, not with the chicken, but with a pork chop? But he lived. He survived. Who is it?
Was it Ryan Sandberg?
It is not Ryan Sandberg. Ruben Amaro, who is it?
I don't know what it is.
James Seltzer, who is it?
Is it Andy?
It is not. Rhea Hughes, who is it?
Buddy Ryan.
It is Buddy Ryan.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh.
Which is why in Dallas there was the pork chop bowl.
Yep.
Which was the year after the Bounty Bowl.
I was thinking of when Angelo almost spikes into his life. Yeah, cheesesteak, yeah.
All right, John, what do you got for us today, buddy?
Hey, guys, I'm right on board with Jason, man.
Can we ask you a quick trivia question? How many wings are on in a chicken?
No.
Okay, we'll skip that.
How many wings are on chicken? Four, man. Four wings.
Okay. See, John listens. That's good work, John.
You agree? All right, we'll play that audio in a second. Hold on. John, here's what I need you to do. Give me your point that you agree with Jason about which topic.
I agree with his point on the city, man. Like, The ownership of the Sixers ramming that down their throats. And, I mean, without any care, it's all about what their franchise is going to be worth when they build that arena. It has nothing to do with the city. I don't buy that even for a little bit.
I've never bought it either. I've never bought it.
So it's ridiculous.
Let me say this. I think David Adelman cares a lot. I have met David Adelman. I like him a lot. I don't know him well. But I have talked to him, and I think he's a very nice, sincere guy from what I can tell. But the Josh Harris thing, I don't think Josh Harris cares about our city, period. I just don't.
Kenny, he's a Washington, he's a Washington guy. How could he care about Philadelphia?
Well, he could. Look, Ed Snyder lived in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Lori's from Massachusetts or whatever.
So you can, but I've never been convinced. This is just my opinion. I could be wrong, okay? I've never been convinced when Josh Harris does something nice for the city that it's not born out of how it supposedly boomerangs back on him that he looks good doing it. Because fundamentally, I think he's about himself.
I also agree with you that I think our team is just okay. And it might be below okay. I mean, it might be below average. The Eagles might be below average, which is,
well, John,
is a shame.
That is a shame that you feel that way. Hopefully they'll prove you wrong. I think this is a great opportunity on a short week to go out there and play tough football, because they didn't play tough football on Monday night. They got out-toughed, and that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
All right, John, give me a big answer here, my man. Who or what got shortchanged?
All right, I've been thinking about this for 30 years. Walter Payton got shortchanged in the Super Bowl when they decided to hand the ball to their fridge. I've been thinking about that for 30 years, man.
Look, me too.
It's a good answer.
It was a problem for me as a little kid. I mean, I was in fifth grade.
I was disappointed.
Terribly Look, upset for sweetness.
He was shortchanged, but I will say
That's a really good answer.
No, it is a great answer, but I was disappointed with how disappointed he handled it
with his disappointment.
Right.
He didn't handle it well.
He was a real baby about it. And I love Walter
Payton. Think about all the years of sacrifice where he was the only guy.
I know.
I mean the beatings that he took, carrying the load that team.
But they had just
they owed him a touchdown. Like, I felt like they owed him a touchdown again. I was an elementary schooler.
I don't disagree with
that. So Ruben, I agree with you. I agree with John. We're all in agreement. You may not know, like after the game, I mean, I've read about this. I've heard a lot about this. Like, he was more focused after he had just won the Super Bowl on that he didn't get a touchdown than, like, he had just won the Super Bowl.
Well, they'd scored.
That's a problem, though, right?
That's not the right way to look at things.
That's not great.
That's not great.
55-10, wasn't it?
But that's not great. It was 46 to 10.
Well, it was
55 is what the Niners scored, I think, against the Chargers.
Did they even get to 10? I thought it was to 7. I think it was 7.
No, I think it was 46-10. I believe it was 46-10.
Every opportunity to give it.
Or 48-10.
The man should have gotten the touchdown.
He should have.
No doubt.
And he is definitely the best running back.
46-10, nice job.
Yeah. Well, hold on. All right. That's a double whammy.
All right.
Enough.
He's the best running back I've seen. Now, I saw the end, to be clear. But he's the best, and there have been some greats, Emmett and Barry and Tomlinson and Thurman Thomas and Marshall Faulk. Walter Payton's the best.
Sweetness was better.
Because
he did it all.
He delivered punishment.
He delivered punishment. And to
it
John's point,
perfect balance.
He had no team for a few years there. A bunch of years.
But no fear.
I know.
He wasn't the biggest, but he would rock you.
Yeah, I know. All right, so I saw Ruben's face light up when the chicken thing came up. And Ruben, you may never have heard this audio before. So I, what do they call it, stepped in it a couple of years ago?
Yes.
So,
I don't even think you can, that's way too nice a euphemism.
In it. Like, all right, we're doing a pregame show in 2017, and we're in a spot up in Northeast Philadelphia, and wings, chicken wings get discussed, and I got a point in here about isn't it amazing there's so many wings, but contained within all this is a real uh-oh by me. All right, Ruben and everyone that hasn't heard this, sit back, relax, enjoy the next minute. It will be at my expense because Seltzer tells me he's dug up the audio. James, fire away.
I mean, have you ever thought about that? Let's say you order 12 wings. Now, how many wings in a chicken? Two per or four? It's two, right? That's six freaking chickens. That's just for one person's order.
No, chickens have four wings.
All right, well, then that's three. Then that's 12. That's three. That's four. I mean, a plate is like you're eating three, four, five chickens on one plate. Everybody's plate all across the country. You've never thought of that? John, you never thought of how many chickens that is?
Do you really think that chickens have four wings?
Two or four. I don't know which it is. Is it two or four? Is it two or four?
Oh,
which is it? I guess it's two. We're back to two?
Yeah, it's two.
You all right, Seltzer?
No, clearly I'm not all right. Oh my
Joe,
God!
Just think about a chicken. I mean, like, think about any bird. Do they have four wings?
I have no idea.
What do you mean? It's a bird.
Does a bird have four wings?
They had two, right? Well, that's what I said for the first time.
I know.
Well, I don't know if it's like a two legs and two arms kind of thing.
Well, yeah, they have legs. A chicken has legs. Also.
Well, I don't know.
I know you don't know. That's what's so weird. That's what's so weird. Hey, Joe, what was the score of the Flyers game on September 10th, 1982? Boom.
They didn't play.
Does a chicken have four wings?
Season out of style.
I don't know.
It's so good.
It's unconscionable. I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
It's laugh.
Which way to go? That's maybe the best minute of radio I've ever heard in my life. Of all time.
He really didn't know.
Spectacular that you had.
He was trying
to pull it up.
He was trying to feel it out.
I don't know, looking for any
foothold.
I was just kind of waiting for him to say, okay, I was just kidding.
I was too. It was so bizarre.
I'm just kidding.
You could hear there were some pauses there where it was just like we were looking. I was looking at him like, I think this might be an alien being. Like this is
you're not sure if it
this
was
guy
him.
Is from outer space. Yeah. I don't think I've ever met anyone this bizarre.
That's
the most spectacular thing I've ever heard.
Well, new Twitter poll question of the day. What was a better minute of radio, that or Kelsey exploding?
Oh, that was
on
pretty
the
good, gracious. I
ownership.
Almost got emotional. I mean, watching him, I will tell you that I was in love with Jason Kelsey prior.
Yeah.
It's like amorous now.
He exploded on that situation.
Amorous now? That's a little much.
I will say this. He is as passionate about this city.
Yeah, he is.
As he was while he played for this city.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's spectacular, man. It was a great.